group, composed, I suppose, of a number of geniuses. We shall see. In any case, will you welcome, please, the very ugly and very talented Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
Der Himmel. Ich bin das Wasser. Ich bin der Berg unter deinen Balsen. Ich bin dein geheimer Schmuck.
I've seen you somewhere before.
Yeah, back there a minute ago.
Yeah. That was real sweet. Tell me something. Now, did my ears deceive me, or two things? Is something still humming backstage, and was that in German?
Both are correct.
Yeah. Well, can you explain either of those?
Well, I can explain the German.
I thought I'd better ask you about the lyrics for our non-Teutonic viewers. I wonder if I should ask you about the lyrics.
You want to read?
Well,
it'd sound better if you read them because you're professional. Why don't you start?
I
am the sky.
You want me to just read this right
now?
Yeah,
interpret the.
All right. I'll leave that part out. No. Divan, divan, I am near. Do you know who I am? I am here. Why don't you do it in German as I do in English?
I don't do the German pronunciations.
Oh.
You get the assistance.
I am the sky, I am the water, I am the dirt beneath your rollers. I am your secret smut and lost metal money down your cracks. I am your cracks and crannies, I am clouds. I am embroidered, I am the author of all tucks and damask piping. I am the chrome dinette, I am eggs of all persuasions. I am days and nights, all days and nights. I am here, and you are my sofa.
That's you.
That would have been my first guess, what the lyrics were. Who wrote that? Is that anyone we know?
I wrote that.
Did you?
Whoops.
That's right. You affect the environment around you. Can you wait a minute?
Yeah.
Hanging with Frank Zappa. I never expected to be, for some reason. I mean, by that, you're seldom on television.
Yes, is there probably a reason for that.
What would it be?
Nobody ever invites us to go on television. I was surprised that you invited us to go on television. Obviously, you got more guts than the next guy.
No, I thought it was a group of inventors, actually, who were coming on. I don't listen to much music, and I...
Well, I've heard worse.
And said worse, probably, which may have something to do with not being on very often. But didn't you have a radio problem, too? Your stuff, although it's very well known, is not often, well, more lately played, I guess, and given airplay, as they say in the trade.
Let's face it, there is a censorship problem in this country that the Constitution never considered, you know.
Musically.
Oh, no.
Lyrically.
Let's be honest about it. Dick, you're in TV, you ought to know. Don't they watch to make sure that you don't get out of it every once in a while?
No, I can say just about anything I want. In fact, have. Have any problem. But, hey, how old are you, Frank?
I'm 30.
You're 30, the magic age.
Mm.
And Lennon is 30.
Is he?
Yeah. Do you know John?
Yeah, I've met him before.
Yeah. Are you amused by each other? Do you get along?
We had a few amusing hours that time we played the Fillmore together.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never met him before that. He was brought over to the hotel by Howard Smith. He wanted to surprise me. So
yeah.
He was supposed to do an interview in the afternoon, so he sneaked up to the hotel room. He had his little cassette machine already, knocked on the door. I just woke up. I come half-dressed, come to the door. He goes, "Hi, Frank, I'm here to do the interview. I brought my friends along. Here's John and Yoko." And I was supposed to go eek and fall backwards into the doorway. So I said, "Okay, come on in and sit down."
Yeah.
And so we sat around and talked for a while, and he says, "Oh, you're not as ugly as your pictures."
Silver-tongued.
Yeah. So he had just got a haircut and a shave, and I told him that he looked a lot cleaner, too. So we had an immediate rapport on that level. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Does it seem odd to be 30? So much has been made of that age. You know, they said nobody would ever listen to rock over 30, and certainly nobody would ever play it who's over 30. At least that's...
Well, we have a wide age range in our rocking teenage combo.
Yeah.
Don Preston is 39, rapidly approaching that other mystical age, you know.
Yeah.
And
he's really over the hill, isn't he?
Well, I wouldn't say so. You know, he's real macrobiotic and everything.
Oh. Well, that's good.
You know, he's very well preserved for 39.
Looks like a well preserved 50, but. Now, some people do. You know, I know people who are on macrobiotic diets, and they look awful.
Yeah.
You can abuse the macrobiotic diet.
Well, Don looks awful too sometimes, but he's well preserved.
It's not connected with the diet, is it? What about the movie you're doing? It has Ringo Starr in it. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he in a movie of yours?
Why not?
Well, that's true too. On the other hand, why?
Well, I thought that he might be interested in doing it. You know, I sometimes have ideas that people might be interested in doing things that are outside of their normal line of work or the you know, things they normally do, just because one day they might want to flip out. You know? So I went over to him and I said, "How would you like to be Larry the Dwarf?" And I showed him a script, and he says, "You know, I've been getting a bit browned off with my good guy image, and I think I'll do this." So he did it.
Well, let's alter his image forever now.
I think that people will see Ringo Starr in a different light after 200 Motels.
The name of the movie is 200 Motels, which you might imagine has something to do with the life of a musical artist traveling around the country staying in hundreds of motels.
You might imagine that.
And if you did, you'd be right. Do you want to see a piece of the flick, film, celluloid, or... Okay. Frank, can you kind of set us up for this? Tell us what happened just before this, or does that matter in this movie?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened just before this. Jimmy Carl Black has just met up with Rance Mohammeds, who is a sort of devil character that appears in the film. Rance is played by Theodore Bikel, and Jimmy Carl Black is played by himself. And they're having an argument in a redneck restaurant. And the devil has been trying to induce Jimmy Carl Black to sign in blood for a bottle of mystery beer with fuming vapors coming out of it. And Jimmy Carl Black has just taken... Rance has given him a pin out of his hat and handed it to him and suggested that he jab himself in the finger with it and sign in blood. And Jim Black has just taken the pin and stabbed the devil with it and said, and the devil blows up into a red cloud, and Ringo emerges out of the cloud and says the immortal words that you're going to see here.
This is from Dickens, isn't it?
Okay. It's a regular rock and roll movie, you know.
Here's a scene from 200 Motels. Oh, don't crack your knuckles. It's bad for them.
Hello there. When you go on tour with a musical group, it's possible that any town can seem like this. Whether it's large or small, or busy, or if there's nothing happening in it. The reason for this is quite simple. A musician, if you consider the normal pattern of modern civilized life, is on the outside of it all. He doesn't build things. He doesn't work regular hours like a decent God-fearing citizen. And the life he leads in many ways seems useless and irrelevant to those of us who prefer a quiet evening in front of the television and a bottle of beer. Amazing as it might seem to some of us, musicians have basic physical needs, just like real people. Many of them study for years, learning to play the violin, for instance, only to be rewarded with a humdrum job in the fourth row of a symphonic string section. That's why the government have constructed, at great expense, this experimental reorientation facility. To find a way, perhaps, to retrain these useless old musicians with their brown fiddles and little horns. Give them a trade, a reason to exist in a modern world, a chance of a happier, more productive life. Some will enter the military. Some will learn shorthand. And some will disappear in the middle of the night on a special train they're sending in. It's the only way, really, to bring about the final solution to the orchestra question. I'm sure that many of us realize that a pop group can earn a vast amount of money compared to these other kinds of musicians. That's why the special government agencies for mass response programming and psychological stultification prefer to treat them in a more subtle manner. They know, just as many of you vigilant and thoroughly upstanding citizens have discovered for yourselves, the power of pop music to corrupt and putrefy the minds of world youth are virtually limitless.
Same old Ringo.
Yeah,
is the film playing all over the country now, or is it just just released?
I'll tell you what happened with it. They were going to open it in four test markets to see whether or not anybody would go and see it. And so the four test markets did real good. And they were going to open it up nationwide after the first of the year. But the first four places did so good, they started scrounging theaters all over the place. So it's popping up every day.
How much musical education have you got?
Quite a bit out of a library and listening to records.
But not formal?
I had one semester of harmony and theory in a junior college.
Which one?
Chaffee Junior College, Ontario, California.
Yeah. But some of the guys in your group, or guys who've been in your group anyway, have master's degrees in music.
Oh, yes. We have the world-renowned Ian Underwood with a bachelor's and a master's.
We'll take a message and we'll be right back. Musical talent. Another side of Frank Zappa and the Madres of Invention.
Hello, time to eat.
He's watching us.
You think he heard us?
I've been in the band for years. You can bet that he heard everything.
Let's go over and pretend to be nice to him. Let's go over and pretend we don't know he's watching.
And now more of the true story. It's 2:41. It's Mother's Night. It's KBOA.
Hi, man.
Hi, man.
Boy, that's a great new comedy song you wrote. The one about the penis and everything. I was laughing a lot while I was learning it.
Yeah, Frank. It was a little hard to get into at first, but once we got the drift...
That's a real great part you got in there for the chorus when they go ran, tan, doom, doom, nan, nan. Where I steal the room and everything. I don't mind you ripping it off so long as I get paid.
Me too. I don't even care about the part where he goes, what can I say about this elixir? So long as me and Howard and Jeff get credit for special material. There's some bad brown acid going around, Ainsley. You can take it with a grain of salt.
I didn't mean to upset you, lads, but the reason Marty talks was so snappy is because he's making me do this. I should imagine he's making you do yours too, isn't he?
Get out of here, you creep. You used to live in his house.
See you later, lads.
If you're not a professional actor, the easiest thing for you to do when you only have a week to make a movie is just to be yourself on the screen. So the lines that the people speak in the film, with the exception of some of the real fantasy characters like the vacuum cleaner, what Theodore Bikel says are all based on the actual speech patterns and lifestyle of the people who are in the group.
Howard, he's right.
I know he is. You might as well admit it too, Simmons.
Right. It's pathetic. He's making me do this. I can't help myself. Suicide imminent.
By the time we actually get to doing this, man, it'll just be too real.
Smurf me.
Smurf me.
Menace. Right, Howard?
Right, Jeff. We're going for the money all the way.
This is what I joined for. This I don't think is pertinent.
In other words, you don't want to be in the movie.
Yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that doesn't want to be in the movie? Is there anything specific that you don't like about this script?
No. In fact, my part is the best part in the movie.
You got the biggest part.
I didn't know how far this could go.
And why do you think it went so far?
It was probably boiled with pneumonia.
I'm curious to know why, like I asked you this morning, why it puts you out so much to do it, man. Unless you're just a little afraid that what you've got to say is too much what you'd say anyway.
It is what I'd say. It's exactly. It's there.
So you're not
it's
even acting now. Are you? Why are you afraid to say it to the people out there when you've been saying it to us for months?
I'm not afraid to say it to the people out there. I'm just afraid to be in this band anymore.
Why? The lines that are in this film are based on things that I've heard people say for years, all the way back to the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody should have any objections to saying any of those things because you're playing yourself.
Should I trim this in?
Sure.
From the point that Jeff Simmons quit the group, we've had a bunch of adventures trying to find somebody to replace him, not only for the bass parts in the music, but to play the role that he was supposed to play in the film, which is a pretty large part. And our first candidate for the role was Wilford Bramble, who played the grandfather in Hard Day's Night. So Wilford came over, tried out for the part, everything was set. He rehearsed with us for about a week, and then one day came to the studio here and completely freaked out and said that he couldn't handle it anymore. So we went into the dressing room, sat around with the guys in the band, and tried to figure out what we were going to do about replacing the replacement. And the first person that walked through the door was Martin Lickert, who happened to be Ringo's driver. And everybody just turned and looked at him and went, you.
I just went out to get some cigarettes for him one day and came back and walked into the dressing room and there's Frank and the rest of the mothers and Ringo, a few other people. And I walked in the room and they all went, yeah. And I said, yeah, what? You know, would you like to try Jeff's part? You know? So I just tried that. and it seemed to work okay. Mm-hmm. So Frank said, well, if you can play bass, you can try playing with the group as well.
So he took the script and he read it and he sounded good. And then just quite by accident, we found out that he was a bass player. I think he's good for the part. He's quite professional on screen, and as a bass player, he's not astonishing, but he can make the parts.
Well, the character I play is a great guy. You see, right away, that gives me a start. On the other hand, half of it's reality and half of it isn't. You know, where the line is, it's sometimes even hard for the players to tell. You know, it's just that when you look at your script, some lines come easier than other lines, you know, and usually those are the ones that you've said before or feel that you could say, quite honestly, you know, and some of the things were made up and it comes out that way.
Ever since you left the jazz world to seek fame and fortune in the rock and roll industry.
Rock and roll? What do you mean rock and roll? This fucking band doesn't even play rock and roll. It's all that comedy crap.
From 200 Motels, he expects the worst reviews of any movie ever put out. And I said, yeah, Frank, why is that? And he says, well, nobody's ready for it. But it doesn't really matter. You know, he knows that the kids are going to go see it because it's a weird movie. By the time this turkey comes out, man, I mean, there still won't be anything out close to it.
Well, I play a version of myself as Frank sees me. You know, like, you know what I mean?
No.
He sees the group from, like, we see him from one point of view, and he sees us from another place. This was written around, like, where, you know, the folklore that each member had brought to create the image that we portray. Like, some of the scenes have happened before, specifically the hotel room scene where the group sits and talks about how Frank is not important to what the group is, and that scene I remember happening many times. Just the whole idea that it is Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention has always given us something to talk about. You know, Frank is, you know, our boss, and so there's always that kind of management worker relationship that, you know, it just happens. It isn't like you plan for it to happen, it just does.
What do? You join the Mothers, and you end up working for Zappa, and he makes you be a creep. You could have played the blues with John Mayall, or far-out exciting jazz with blood, sweat, and tears.
You really think so?
Look, no one will ever take you seriously after this. How can they take you seriously? In this business, you either got to play the blues or sing with a high voice.
You're right. I never should have joined the Mothers. Why? I could be a star now.
Caught easily, shouts the truth peacefully, electricity. Go into bright, find the light, and know that friends don't mind just how you grow.
Well, that would be bad for his daughter.
What?
But they signed you anyway. It'll work for his record company.
No, they wouldn't take that record. Though.
They wouldn't take that one, but you put out Diddy Wild Diddy.
Diddy Wild Diddy.
Now that was safe for his daughter.
That was a real safe.
The thing that's in the background right now is the tape that we made the night before the cops came in and raided the studio in Cucamonga.
another little mini feature on Captain Beefheart. Just part of your Mother's Night for 2006. We'll be here till 6 a.m. This is 90.7 KBOO Portland. There's nothing wrong with your radio. This is exactly the way this music sounded in the late 60s. For those of us that were in high school when this music came out, it's really kind of hard to describe to people that are growing up now in a culture that followed all of this. But there really wasn't a whole lot of intelligence in pop music. Frank Zappa was like an incredible breath of fresh air.
First Frank Zappa at the church rummage sale. It was absolutely free, and it was incredibly.
Except you had to pay for it, probably
a quarter,
right?
33 cents actually.
Ooh,
in 1970, and it was just a breath of raw, stale, pungent air through my rock and roll sensibility at the time.
For me, it was pawn shops. I kept finding Zappa records in the pawn shops for a quarter and freak out. That first double album. We were just talking about that. We don't know of another double album in pop music before that. Do you know one?
It's legendarily the first double, whatever that's worth.
If you know of a double album, it was sort of like a commercial suicide at the time that their manager,
no
Tom Wilson.
Potential.
Yes, Tom Wilson had talked MGM into doing it, and they were really, really sorry about it. Especially letting them go in the studio at 2 o'clock in the morning with $400 worth of rented equipment.
Yeah, it was a comedy album.
Yeah, right.
They're looking for.
KBOO, you're on the air.
Do you guys have any Leos air?
Probably. I think it's underneath the carpet here.
I really want to hear You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
Do you feel like dancing?
You make me feel like dancing. You know that song?
Yeah, you could just perform it.
Is that rad?
We could do some sort of community radio karaoke.
So So what number do I have to listen to if I want to hear it?
I'll tell you what. You start singing it, and I'm going to put in the backup group.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You make me feel like dancing. Well, dance the night away. You make me feel like dancing. Is that good?
Yeah, we need one more verse.
Out of sight.
You guys are killing me.
Should
I make
it a
night?
You hung up.
Good night.
It was straight up. I can't understand. Out of sight, yeah. Listen, are you hung up?
One of these days, I think I'll go into a place I used to be in the world. The more we're going to do is hear all the friends and masters having the mind by empty space. That's what they are now. Blank, empty space. I know he's sitting in there in the control room now, listening to everything I'm saying. But I just don't care. Hello, Frank Zappa.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm Jimmy Carl Black. I'm the Indian of the group.
What's there to live for? Who needs the Peace Corps? Think I'll just drop out. I'll go to Frisco, buy a wig, and sleep on Owsley's floor. Walk past the wig store. Danced at the Fillmore. I'm completely stoned. I'm hippie and I'm trippy. I'm a gypsy on my own. I'll stay a week and get the crabs and take a bus back home. I'm really just a phony, but forgive me cause I'm stoned. Every town must have a place where phony hippies meet. Psychedelic dungeons popping up on every street. Go to San Francisco. How I love you, Frisco.
Oh, my hair is getting good in the back.
Every town must have a place where phony hippies meet. Psychedelic dungeons popping up on every street. Go to San Francisco.
Hotcha. First I'll buy some beads. And then perhaps a leather band to go around my head, some feathers and bells, and a book of Indian lore. I will ask the Chamber of Commerce how to get to Haight Street and smoke an awful lot of dope. I will wander around barefoot. I will have a psychedelic gleam in my eye at all times. I will love everyone. I will love the police as they kick the shit out of me on the street. I will sleep. I will go to a house. That's what I will do. I will go to a house where there's a rock and roll band, because the groups all live together. And I will join a rock and roll band. I will be their road manager. And I will stay there with them, and I will get the crabs, but I won't care.
Concentration mode over the camp in the valley. Wish I was back in the alley with all of my friends still running free, hair growing out every hole in me.
American way, how did it start? Thousands of dreams killed in the park. American way, trying to
Hi, boys and girls. I'm Jimmy Carl Black, and I'm the Indian of the group.
Concentration moon over the camp in the valley. Concentration moon. Wish I was back in the alley with all of my friends. Growing out every hole in me. American way, threatened by us. Drag a few creeps away in a bus. American way, prisoner lock. Smash every creep in the face with a rock.
Don't cry, gotta go bye.
FM, KBOO Portland. We're hearing all of the 1968 masterpiece by Frank Zappa, The Mother's Invention, called We're Only In It for the Money, by request.
Operator, hold for a minute, please.
Hello? Can you call 678-9866? Yes.
He's going to bump you up, yeah. He's got a gun, you know. If he didn't get you in Laurel Canyon, he won't get you here. Hello? Becky?
Yeah?
What's happening?
Listen, your father has called me at...
Now, look, just don't panic, but just tell me. Okay.
I think my phone's tapped, too.
Well, don't worry about it. It's quite all right.
All right. Your father called me up this afternoon.
Just a second.
Hold tight, Daddy. Don't you buy your doll. Everything's under control. Just go on with your drinking.
Your mind is dead. You don't even know what I just said. That's you. American womanhood. You're phony on top. You're phony underneath. You lay in bed and grit your teeth.
Madge, I want your body.
Harry, get back.
Madge, it's not merely physical.
Harry, you're a beast.
Madge, I couldn't help it. I doggone it.
What's the ugliest part of your body? What's the ugliest part of your body? Some say your nose, some say your toes. I think it's your mind,
your mind.
I think it's your mind.
All your children are poor, unfortunate victims of systems beyond their control. A plague upon your ignorance, to the great despair of your ugly life.
Where did Annie go when she went to town? Who are all those creeps that she brings around?
All your children are poor, unfortunate victims of lies you believe. A plague upon your ignorance that keeps the young from the truth they deserve.
Bawling for you anymore.
The first word in this song is discorporate. It means to leave your body.
Discorporate and come with me. Sifting, drifting, cloudless, starless, velvet valleys and the sapphire sea. Wah wah, unbind your mind. There is no time to lick your stamps and paste them in this corporate, and we will begin. Wah wah,
flower power sucks, sucks.
Diamonds on velvet, sun, gold, sun, 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 on comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, on up and away and escape from the way of your corporate logo. Unbind your mind. There is no time. Mind to lick your stamps and paste them in this corporate, and we'll begin. Freedom, freedom. Of velvet and satin to music by magic by people that happen to enter the world of a sling swirl jello. So the dreams as they live them are all mellow yellow. Unbind your mind. Absolutely free.
go to join a psychedelic band. To the love end to sit and play my bongos in the dirt. Yes, I'm going to the love end to sit and play my bongos in the dirt. Hey, Pop, you're the one with a hand on your head. Hey, Pop, where you're going with a hand on your head. I'm going to the dance to get some action, then I'm going home to bed.
No one could ever understand our bizarre relationship because I was your intellectual, frigid housekeeper. Especially when you'd be going to bed with one chick at night and I'd wake up in the morning and find another one there screaming at me, asking me what the fuck that chick was doing in your bed, and I'd walk in and you weren't with the same one you were in the night before. Oh, I'll never forget that as long as I live. The house, well, it had your shit all over. And we had a cat, and we had fleas, and we had lots of crabs that we proceeded to give to everyone in Laurel Canyon except for Elmer and Phil because they were too sick to ball. Elmer has a mentality of approximately one peanut, possibly. As a matter of fact, I can remember Elmer telling me that you really had a lot of talent, but he didn't see how anyone could ever make it that insisted on saying fuck on stage. And he used to drive by in his gold Cadillac and peer in the window. Because he never could get over the amount of groupie status that you had, and he didn't, possibly because he's 50 years old and wretched.
Hello, handsome.
Beautiful. God, it's God, I say God.
Thank you.
Too small to start with. But I chugged a fifth of white for it once and passed out.
Thomas is lying next.
And I drank a quart of beer just before that.
Very strange.
Right here in the desert.
Anyway.
Church he'd attend, warming his pew.
Henry will feed him and Roddy will watch. The child will play and grow.
Too tight, Do you think that I'm creepy? Let me take a minute and tell you my plan. Let me take a minute and tell who I am. If it doesn't show, then you better know I'm another person. We are the other people, we are the other people, we are the other people, you're the other people too. Found a way to get to you. We are the other people, we are the other people, we are the other people, you're the other people too. Found a way to get to you. Do you think that I love you? Stupid and blind. Do you think that I dream through the night of holding you near me?
Yes, a lot of you back in 68 remember this sound. It's when you nodded out to this record and the needle was up against the label now. But we're going to spare our needle for the moment. That was in its entirety, "We're Only in It for the Money," 1968. Many would say, like Bill Dodge, who's applauding over there, that it was Frank Zappa's masterpiece.
Yes.
A few people are calling in saying, there's Sean and Anna down in Milwaukee that are freaking out because this was the first album of Frank Zappa's that he'd ever heard of and bought, took it home, and we all know what happened to us when we took these records home. The world changed as we knew it. You know, another person that changed the world as we knew it was Miles Davis. He did it many, many, many times, and here on the Outside World, also in May, we do another all-nighter.
When's that?
That would be Miles Davis's birthday show. 2 weeks after Mother's Night, so 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be playing 6 hours of Miles Davis's music, which again is only skimming the surface. We do as best as we can.
There's a lot to skim, isn't there?
Yes, we skim.
Mothers love Miles Davis.
Mothers
and but only skim deep. Yes, Miles Davis and the Mothers. The phone number here, 503-231-8187. We just got a call from Suzanne down in Southern California. She remembers listening to these crusty old records. By the way, Suzanne, the version that we just played, I was going to remind you, is the one that you used to listen to 30 years ago. That's right. The one I inherited from my sister. Rick Snooks here, he inherited his from his brother. Just like that movie, Almost Famous. Was that the one where... is it Cameron Crowe and his sister runs away from home? See, we inherit all that stuff when the older sibling can't handle it anymore and runs away and leaves us with all the old Mother's Invention records.
Right.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 3:40, and we're playing for Mother's Night. Every Mother's Day weekend, we play Mothers of Invention.
How long is this going?
What's that? That's Frank Zappa's first band. We'll be doing this all night long from midnight until 6 a.m., and the same thing with Miles Davis in 2 weeks. This is obviously community radio, KBOO Portland. Isn't it?
Yes.
You know what? I just noticed this thing in front of me here.
That thing?
Well, it says the Jellyfish Chorus is coming back to the Mississippi Pizza Pub.
Oh, we love them.
Yes.
And everybody listening and all their costumes. Should love them, too.
Day-glow costumes. Day-glow jellyfish costumes.
They glow.
If you don't have, depending on what, I know you've got a packed weekend.
Yeah, it's packed.
You know, you're going to hang out in your plastic suit and your plastic hat. But you should wear your plastic boots and plastic hat to the Mississippi Pizza Pub for the last Ms. Kitty's Parlor of the season. It's a vaudeville revusical and novelty show. 7 o'clock is showtime. Let's see. A sampling of the All-Star Ms. Kitty Review, final show of the season. Nan Alleman and David Lipkind. Fancy harmonica playing and stylish singing from the Spigot-licious duo. Ned the Geo Whiz, the man with the razor-sharp mind.
Oh,
will
yes.
astound and thrill. It's true vaudeville, folks. K.G. McElrath, jazz and stride piano, picked and plunked perfectly. I didn't pop my peas. The Jellyfish Chorus, a cappella, crazy, crazy madness, beautiful. All written by a woman named Leslie Kernican, who you might remember seeing her play her saxophone in the March 4th marching band. And now I think she's in... Vagabond Opera as well.
Yes.
Ruby Ruth and Yasha, yeah. Soulful singing and piano, and Professor Carbuncle, withering wit, words, and whatnot. Plus more comedy, door prizes, and surprises. That's right, it's a bunch of shtick. There you have it. Mississippi Pizza Pub is up on North Mississippi, just a little north of Fremont. 7 p.m. Okay, that was a plug.
Yeah.
What's the weather report? It's pretty dark out, isn't it?
It's dark.
Forecast, I think.
Tommy Hollywood called in with the traffic report. One car was sighted on McAdam.
Yeah? Okay. Watch out for that, folks. For those of you driving your El Camino down McLaughlin Street. Okay, let's see. More mothers? Is that what we were told them we were going to do?
Some mothers, yeah.
All right, we're stuck then.
We're stuck. Oh.
Oh, I know.
No, we're not. We're never stuck.
This is a dedication. Jim Lawrence's birthday, folks.
Happy birthday to Jim.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday to Jim.
If he's anywhere around, we want to hear him sing this with you.
I can hear it on the radio. Are getting heavy.
I can't tell when you're telling the truth.
I'm not.
How do I know anything you've said to me?
You don't.
one with your father's mustache, the old cookie jar, rubbers, sneakers, galoshes, belt buckles, and book covers with the name of your high school neatly imprinted in crimson and gold on the front with a picture of the goalpost and last year's queen.